Amen. Father, we give you praise today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the wonderful gifts that you have poured out in this local body. And Lord, who are we that you would call us unto yourself? Who are we that you would bring us and adopt us into your family? But we are grateful. And we thank you, dear Lord, for everything that has gone on here today, the baby dedications, the food, the ministry of the word. Lord, the communion together. Lord, the praise and worship. But Lord, now we come to sit at your feet because there's one thing that is truly needful, and that's to hear from you. And Lord, we ask that our hearts and our minds and our wills are prepared right now to receive your word. Lord, bless Pastor John as he brings it forth. And Lord, may we take it and enact it to establish and continue to build the kingdom. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Hallelujah. Last night I was thinking about the baby dedication that we were going to be having, and I was thinking about how important our children are to our future. And everybody always says these are the future, but the kids are the future. And they really are, and without godly children in this world, what kind of world would we have if, you know, how would it be if we were the last generation of Christians? Could you imagine what the world would be like with no more Christians? It would be awful. And we need that salt in this earth. We have to have that. And as parents, we invest so much hope in our children. We want the best for them. We want them to be able to enjoy life. We want them to have a great future ahead of them. And they will. They will have a great future. But what's truly amazing about these kids is how fast they grow up. I mean, it's amazing. You miss a kid for a year and they come back and you go, oh my gosh, look how much you've grown. And it just seems to keep going and going like that. And, you know, we do our part as parents. We feed them, we house them, we clothe them. We do what we can. We love and protect them, but we can't make them grow. They grow all on their own. That's something that God set in motion at the very beginning of time. When that tiny little egg is fertilized, it begins to grow at an amazing rate. And within 9 months, we end up having a full-grown baby. But the growth doesn't stop there. That baby continues to grow, and then it becomes a full-grown adult. You know, and it becomes as big as someone like Mike Hill up there, you know, and or some of these other big guys that we got. But even that doesn't tell the story. For the whole truth is that we should be growing throughout our life, and not only in the physical, but especially even in the spiritual sense. What we need to know is this: that it's only God who can cause the true growth that we need. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul was talking about the believer's growth, and he had this to say. He said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. And he was talking about the faith of the Christians in that time. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. I know this spring I planted grass seed in my front lawn where I used to have a tree, and I went out there faithfully and watered that seed every single day, and it started to come in, but it was all blotchy and patchy, so I planted more seed. Then I actually planted more seed again a third time, and finally it filled in. But one of the things I could easily see was that no matter what I did, that seed had a mind of its own. It grew how it wanted, when it wanted, at the rate it wanted. I could not control the growth. All I could do was plant it and water it and watch it and hope for the best. In Genesis 1:1, if you remember, God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit. And it was so. God's the one who started the whole process of the seed and the growth. Animals that will reproduce after their own kind, humans that we reproduce after their own kind. All the growth, all the reproducing, that's all something that God set in motion at the beginning of time, before the creation. And the whole growth process that he started, he still controls it, even to this very day. I mean, we can read, we can study, we can pray, we can fellowship, we can worship, we can do everything possible, but without God's help through the Holy Spirit, our growth won't happen. It would be severely limited. We can pick up knowledge and information, but true growth as a Christian only comes as God helps to bring it along through the power of His Spirit and, you know, through His Word, through all those things that we take in. We have to do our part and take it in, but it's God the one, just like that seed. I planted it, but God made it grow. I do my job, I read, I pray, I study, I worship, fellowship, all these things, but only God can make Him, His life, grow in us. When we allow God to work in our lives, amazing things begin to happen. And we will grow in ways that we never even thought were possible. God has this ability to take something that seems small and insignificant and make it grow and turn it into something great. There's a short story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, that gives us a great example. And it says, "The wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, he honored God. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.' Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? What do you want me to do? What do you need? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' he said. 'What do you have? What something that I can use? What do you got in your life?' And she goes, 'Your servant has nothing at all.'" That's what she's thinking. She says, "I got nothing." Sometimes we think like that. "I got nothing. I'm nobody. I got nothing." And she said, "Except a small jar of olive oil." So Elisha said, "Go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. And don't ask for just a few. Get all the jars you can get. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour that oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it aside." So she left him and she shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he said, "There's not a jar left. We filled them all." And as soon as he said that, the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Now go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left." What was the first thing she said? "I got nothing. I've got nothing in my house. All I got is this little jar, a little bit of olive oil in a jar." And he said, "Go out and get jars. Get whatever you can get, and not just a few. As big as your faith is, you bring them all in. As much as you can get, you bring them in, and we're going to fill those things up." And that's what's happened. She had more than she needed. A similar incident happened to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 through 16. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food.' So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and he asked, 'Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I can have a drink?' And as she was going to get it, he called, 'And bring me, please, a piece of bread.' And this is what the woman said, 'As surely as the Lord your God lives,' she replied, 'I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour and a little olive oil in a jug. I got nothing. I'm so poor, I got nothing. I am gathering a few sticks to take home to make me a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die.'" This woman was at the end of her rope. Little did she know that God was going to use her right now. So Elijah told her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the Lord sends rain on the land. And you know what? That was a few years away still. This was a drought that lasted a few years. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her, and so there was food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord had spoken by Elijah. And probably the most famous story of all that I know you've all heard was the hungry crowds. Remember Jesus that said, had compassion on them? He asked his disciples, what do we got? And they said, nothing, Lord. All we got is a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread. It's not enough. It's not enough to feed all these people. There were 4,000 men, plus all the women and all the children. So there were probably 12, 13, 15,000 people there. In each case, you know, what happened there, as you know, is not only did they feed all those people, but then there were 7 baskets of leftovers that they got to have that night for a snack. And in every one of those cases, we see that God is not limited by what we think we have. Lord, there's not enough food. I only got this jar, a little bit of flour. I only got this little bit of oil. There's only a couple fish, thousands of people. How could we possibly feed all these people? God doesn't even care about that. He doesn't care about what, you know, when we think we only have a little, because God can take whatever we have. Whatever we have, God can take it and use it and make it grow. He can make it last. He can make it flourish. He can bring the increase whenever He wants. He wants us to learn how to trust Him as our provider, knowing that there's nothing too small, nothing too insignificant for God to be able to use. Remember, He owns the earth and everything in it. He's the one who created it all. He can make anything we have last forever, just like that food. God wants to increase His kingdom here on this earth. And as we learn to love and trust and serve God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, God will use whatever we have. Whatever we have, however little it seems to us, God can use that and bless it and use us then beyond our expectations to build His church, to build His kingdom, to raise up, to increase, to multiply. We're not without. None of us are without. Whatever little we have, sometimes all we might have is our words. Or we might have some food to share. We might have some money to share. We might have some knowledge to share. We might have some goods or some things at home. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We've all got something if we've got breath in us. And God says, I can use that. You ever hear that one commercial? I need a battery. I got that. Oh, I need a battery for I got that. Well, how about I got that? Well, that's how God is. He can use whatever we have for His glory, to build, to grow. Isaiah 54:2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Why? Because God wants increase. He wants us to be ready to increase, whether it's our church, whether it's our family, whether it's the Holy Spirit inside of us, whether it's our faith, whether it's those around us that we can bless, whatever it is, God says, get ready for increase. Be prepared. God wants to pour out His blessing on His people. He wants us to prosper and grow. The Word says, you know, let your life be abundant, as you know, live an abundant life even as your faith grows. Even as we go after the things of God, God wants to pour out more and more on us. He wants us to be an abundant people. We have to trust Him, using whatever He's given us. You know, His kingdom, for His purposes, for His will to be accomplished. Those are the things that God wants us to see, like, what can we do? I see a need there. I see a way that God can bless this person by using them and allowing them to serve God in a way, in a greater capacity, that not only will they be a blessing to others, but whenever we're a blessing to others, we get blessed. You cannot give God. The more you give to serve God, the more you bless God, the more you bless God's people, the more blessing will come back into your life. Luke 19:16, Jesus tells the parable of the king that gave his servants some money. He was going away on a trip. He was actually going to be anointed as a king. And he was going away on this long trip, and he gave his servants some money, and he basically told them, now I want you to use this money, administer it, cause it to grow, do what you can with this money. So he comes back, and he finds one of his servants has gotten 10 times back, and well done, good servant, you know, well done, you know, you did a great job. Another one got 5 times, and that was a good job. He gave him a great attaboy, and then one of them just said, I know you're a tough guy, man. I didn't want to mess up, so I just went and stuck the money in a hole and hid it. And he got mad at him. He rebuked him. He said, you wasted it. You wasted what I gave you. You could have done so much. So he rebuked him for that. And every one of us have been blessed in so many ways also. And God wants to see us increase that 1 time, 10 times, 100 times. Just like the parent doesn't want to see his child waste the things that we've worked so hard and we saved up and we've done things and we've gotten things for them. We don't want to see our children waste that, squander it. Nobody does. We want to see them use what we give them wisely. We want to see our prayers and our hopes for our children answered. Just like the kids that we prayed for today. And guess what? God wants to see the same thing in His children, us. He's given us so much, and He doesn't want to see it wasted. He sees our potential. He sees it just like in a seed. When He sees a seed, He could see what that seed could become, a giant oak tree. God can see that tree immediately. When He looks at us, He sees the potential in us that we can be. Just like in Judges 6:12, if you remember that story, we've talked about it. I'm not going to get into it today, but we talked about Gideon. You remember when the angel of the Lord came and said in Judges 6:12, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. You remember that? Gideon, he saw himself as a pipsqueak, as a nobody, the smallest family member of the weakest clan, and he was afraid of everything. He thought he was a nobody. But God saw something different. He saw him as a mighty warrior, and he said, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites. And guess what? He did. He did. Because God caused him to grow into that mighty warrior that he saw. And God sees your potential too. He sees that potential in you to be a mighty warrior, to be someone who has so much more potential, and God will cause that to grow in you as you turn to Him. Even these little children that we had up here, God saw great, He sees great potential in each one of them. And as parents, our job then is to try to nurture them and help them to become that person. He sees all those who will run after Him and not grow weary. He sees those that are going to cause others to turn to Christ. He sees those who will rise up beyond their circumstances and be victorious. Those who will persevere and not fail. Those who will, in the end, be called good servants and be told, well done. He sees that. He sees that in you. He sees all that potential in you. Can you see it? Can you envision yourself as somebody who is growing and growing, allowing God to work in you, saying, I'm going to grow. I'm not where I am yet. I'm not done yet. I'm still growing. I don't care if I'm 10, 20, 50, 60, 80, even 90 or 95. I'm still growing. God can still put more in me. He can still use me for more. God sees his church growing, a church that started 2,000 years ago had just a few members, 12 apostles and a few disciples. And God sent his Holy Spirit to that upper room on one day, the day we call Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. And that very day, God caused those fearful men that were hiding out in that upper room to, once they were filled with the Spirit, they went out and began to preach. Especially Peter got out there and started speaking. And before you know it, those few people, the church grew to 3,000 on the same day. God caused the growth. God's the one that spoke to their hearts. As he used Peter, who thought he couldn't, you know, do something like that, just a little while earlier, he was running away. He was denying Christ. And now here he's out there speaking to the whole city, and 3,000 got used. Now that's growth. God caused that growth. And now the church is well over 2 billion people. 2 billion people. And it's not done yet. We hear all the time about how, oh, the church is, you know, everybody's worried. The church is growing all the time. God's kingdom is progressing all the time. The fastest growing faith in the world through people coming to the faith is still Christianity. You hear Muslim is growing. That's only because they have a ton of kids. They're not real Muslims. They're just Muslims' kids. The people that are growing in faith are Christians. And in a lot of places, they're converting Muslims at an alarming rate to the Muslims. They get scared, so they start terrorizing. Zechariah 4:10 says, not to despise the day of small beginnings. We saw some of the small beginnings right up here. What are those kids going to turn into? Some of those kids may turn out to be ministers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, you never know. Some of them are just going to be moms and dads. But every one of them has a tremendous future. It doesn't matter what your position is. What matters is that we become who God called us to be. Maybe you felt a stirring of God in your heart. Maybe it's just a small stirring. That's okay, because God can cause that small stirring to grow. If we are willing, God is more than able. God sees tremendous potential in you, and he knows it's there because he put it there. God put that potential in you. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. God's not going to do that. He just wants you to grow into the person that he created you to be. And God is a master craftsman, a master artist, a master creator. He did not make a mistake when he created you. You got a full, you know, you got the full load of whatever you needed that God wanted inside of you. It's not a matter of how much we do or how much we give. It's a matter of who we become in Christ, that we become the person God created us to be. Jesus gave a great illustration of that in Mark 12:41, when it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put in and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, and she put in everything, all that she had to live on. See, God's not looking for the amount that's just some amount that's arbitrary. He's looking for what we have in us, what he put in us to come out. That's why we can't compare ourselves to others, because each one of us has different giftings. And God's made it so that we all fit together, we all work together, and we grow into this beautiful church. Doesn't apply to just money either. That lesson was not just, it's about our whole life. 2 Corinthians says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously, and that's true in every area of our life. What may seem small to us is not small if it's done to honor our Lord and Savior. Whatever it is, just turn it over to God. Trust in him. God can take what's little and make it big. He will always provide the ability to do whatever He's called us to do. If you're feeling that stirring of God calling you, we need to step out in faith and do that and let God work in you and turn that stirring into something great. Philippians 1:6 says, "Be confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." It's going to keep on growing, keep on going, and Jesus is in there working in us as long as we let Him. 1 Corinthians 5:5 says that God has given us His Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. If you allow Him, God, through His Spirit, will work in you. He will begin to cause you to grow and prosper, and some things will start to come out of you that you'll be shocked, and He will turn you into that mighty warrior for Him that He created you to be. That's the kind of God we have. Now, and even in the terms of warriors, there's all different levels. Everybody's a warrior in a different place. You could be a warrior in a nursery. You could be a warrior out on the battlefield. You could be a warrior at work. You can be a warrior in your relationship with your husband and wife. And I don't mean fighting one another. I mean fighting together. We can't allow ourselves to think we don't have enough. We can't despise the small beginnings, because those beginnings are from God. When you meet the tallest tree that we see, when you go down your street or you go out into the woods and you see these giant trees, no matter how big they are, remember, they all started tiny. At one time, they were just a little runt, a little tiny tree that anybody could have busted over. And then all of a sudden, one day, you look at them and go, "Oh my God, what has God done here?" And we're the same. We're the same. Every one of us can turn into mighty oaks. There's even a reference in the Bible about us as mighty oaks. We all can turn into mighty oaks, to mighty, warriors, to people that God can use in so many places and so many situations. Don't think that you don't have it in you. God can cause whatever you have to grow because God put it there. God knows what it's there for. God knows when the opportunity will arise so that you can use it. God knows it all. And He's working in us. He put that deposit of His Holy Spirit in us. And when we allow the Spirit of God to move and live and work inside of us to lead us, where we become His children, true children, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and the daughters of God. When we allow that to happen, when we're led by the Spirit, great things are going to happen. And God's going to cause you to grow more and more and more. He'll help you grow into that faithful servant that you were created to be. And then one day you're going to stand before Him on that final day of judgment, and He's going to be able to say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." Isn't that what you want? Don't you want to hear that? Well done. That's what we should all want. So let's close in prayer, and if I could have the prayer team come forward, I want to encourage you to just to remember this as you're thinking that God will use whatever you have. God will cause you to grow. God will cause your giftings to grow. God will cause your ministry to grow. God will cause all that you have, all that you do, all that you that's in you that is of God, He will cause that to grow, so that you can be a superhero in the kingdom of God, a mighty warrior in the kingdom of God. God is with you, mighty warrior. Not me, I'm not a mighty warrior. God is with you, mighty warrior. Not me, I'm the smallest. Not me, we think. And God's saying, "I will go with you. I will go with you. I will strike down the Midianites. I will help you beat your problems. I will help you overcome your fears. I will help you overcome your doubts. I will go with you. I will fight before you. I will go with you. I will be ahead of you. I will be your rear guard. I will be your shield, your tower, your strength. I'll cause you to grow." That's our God. That's our God. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you're a good tiller of the soil. You're a good gardener. You're a good creator. You're a good planter, Lord God. And you're the one that makes us grow, Lord God. You're the one that does the miraculous. You're the one that owns it all, Lord God. You're the one that provides for us everything that we need. Lord, we know that you are our all in all. That without you we are nothing, but with you we are something. Something amazing. Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray that you would inspire every one of us to grow, to seek you, and to seek that growth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we have coffee and donuts upstairs, whatever, so come on up, stick around, spend a little bit of time. Thanks for coming out today. God bless you. You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still.